Hey guys, it's Andrea Cabrera here. For today's episode, my team and I decided to bring back a favorite. We loved it so much, we wanted to share it with you a second time. A lot of people hesitate to express and live their faith at work, mostly because they're afraid of letting people into an intimate part of their life, their relationship, belief, or connection with a higher being. Well, in this episode, you'll be joining Hunter Muse in a conversation about faith at work with Christian convert Sue Warnk. And if you enjoy her work as much as we did, you'll probably want to check out her blog at leanership.org. Keep an ear out for one of my personal favorite lines. Sue Warnk says you must find out first what God wants of you. But the question is, what for? Coming up right now. Welcome to Measuring Success Right, the official podcast of the Marriott Student Review, where we connect the leaders of tomorrow with the issues of today.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of Measuring Success Right. I am your host today, Hunter Muse. This episode is really special, and I hope you take some time to listen and learn from our guest today, Sue Warnk. Sue is the president of Faith Force San Francisco and the senior director of engineering content at Salesforce. After a lifetime as a proud agnostic, Sue had a life-changing encounter and converted to Christianity just a couple years ago. In the short time as a new Christian, Sue has been busy helping spark a movement of authentic faith in the workplace. In her 19 years in the technology industry, Sue has managed over 60 engineers and technical writers. She has a master's in English and was profiled in Liz Wiseman's best-selling leadership book, Rookie Smarts.
Sue, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing super great. Finals are over. Life is good, and we're just so glad to have you on the show. Tell us a little about yourself. So what do you do for Salesforce, for those who might not understand kind of that background that you're in?
Yeah, so I run a team of technical documentation, mm-hmm. which supports our Salesforce app. So all of the manuals and videos and a lot of the trails or training that helps our users use the Salesforce product.
Very nice.
That's what we do.
I don't think a lot of our listeners know. I found this out by listening to another podcast that you did, which was really interesting. But you grew up in really unique circumstances as a non-LDS individual in Utah, right? And so I'm curious, like, what was it like growing up in Utah?
Yeah, so I grew up in Layton, Utah, mm-hmm. Which at the time I read some stat was about 95% LDS.
Yeah,
and we were not. Yes, we'd kind of gone to a Protestant church when I was in preschool, but really just were not religious. So you know, I felt like an outsider, and I think we all feel like that, like you said, in different ways around different things. But it's still fun feeling like an outsider. Yeah. I don't think people necessarily made me feel that way, but mm-hmm. I think that we do, we put up walls around us when we feel that way.
Yeah. You have a very unique experience that a lot of people don't have, you know, growing up here, and they have a different viewpoint into the culture as someone from the outside. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, now that I've left Utah, I miss it so much. Mm-hmm. You know, I live in California now, and I just look back so fondly on the beauty, the kindness. I love the culture. Anytime I have a chance to interact with LDS members here, which we have quite a few at Salesforce,
yeah.
I talk about my childhood there.
So I wanted to jump in to this fascinating work you're involved in. You helped start Faith Force recently at Salesforce, and we're so interested in how that began and the exodus of that organization.
Yeah, absolutely. So it started about a year and a half ago. So I had just converted to Christianity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it became, as faith is to a lot of people, it's not just a hobby. It's not just a side interest. It's typically one of the most important things in your life. To me, it was the most important thing. And suddenly I was trying to integrate that with my work, and I felt very alone. I thought, oh, I think I'm the only Christian here or the only person of faith here. I don't see any signs of it. And so I started to, instead of, you know, going inward, I started to ask around. I asked, you know, I just tried to bring up the topic, and it turns out there were a lot of people of faith who felt kind of alone. Mm. And so I looked online. I found a couple people had already started the process to create this group. We call it, we call these Ohana groups at Salesforce. They're basically employee resource groups, which, you know, all companies have to support kind of minority groups. Many of them do not yet have a faith diversity group. So this was a little bit unusual, kind of trailblazing. Mm-hmm. But they had started that process, and they allowed me to kind of join in to the process. And we kicked that off, like I said, about a year and a half ago, which was really bold, I think, of the leaders here to give that a try. And it has become the most popular employee resource group in Salesforce history. Within a year and a half, it grew, I think, 198%. It grew to over 1,800 members globally. Oh, we have, you know, regional chapters in almost 12 locations in 5 continents across the globe. So there was this pent-up need, it turns out, to talk about faith.
Wow, that's incredible. This has been a really revolutionary thing, this drive, this appreciation of faith in the workplace, especially by such a major employer like Salesforce. I'm curious, what was the reaction, and what's been the impact of FaithForce so far in the company?
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason a lot of groups don't, or a lot of companies don't have a faith diversity group yet, although many, many more are coming online all the time, is because we bring a lot of fear and assumptions about the topic of faith. We're sort of trained, like, whatever you do, don't talk about faith. You might offend somebody.
Yeah.
And so there was a little fear at the beginning. What would this be like? And the way we mitigated that is we just came up with incredibly clear guidelines. Mm-hmm. What faithless is and what it's not. And I'll start with the what it's not, because that's usually what's on people's mind. It's not proselytizing. So nobody's trying to push their faith on somebody else. It's not political. It's not a front for something. And it's also not really theological. We're not really comparing theological texts or anything like that.
Yeah.
And then what it is three simple things. One is celebration. So we actually want to acknowledge these holidays that are so important to our Ohana: Easter, Eid, Passover, Yom Kippur, Diwali. So, you know, we allow people to celebrate. We don't hide it. So all of these holidays are celebrated by all of the faiths together. We come together and we celebrate. We just had a feast singing for Easter. It was pretty fun. And we had all faiths watching that. We also do a lot of philanthropy. So one thing that all faith groups agree on is the need to have compassion for those in need.
Yeah.
And so we serve the homeless a lot. We you know, do a ton of philanthropy, volunteering thousands and thousands of hours from our employees.
Wow.
So we do that. And then the last piece is education. Mm-hmm. So we do want to learn about what different holidays mean. So we, you know, we post little newsletters explaining all the holidays from all faith perspectives.
Oh, wow. That's so interesting. And I imagine you must have groups of Ohana groups that are made up of Muslims and Buddhists and Christians and LDS members. How is that mix, and how does that go together? Has it been, what has that experience been like?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's actually, we don't have siloed groups. So some companies roll it out that way, where they'll have a, you know, a Christian ERG or employee relations group and a Jewish employee resource group. But we intentionally call this FaithForce, and it's intentionally interfaith.
Yeah.
So we're all, you know, my leadership team has sort of representatives from every different faith perspective, including atheists, actually.
Wow.
Because they also feel isolated often and misjudged. And so we want to just be really representative. So we have the, you know, we do have like a Christian, we call it affinity group, and we have a Jewish group, and these groups simply meet for prayer typically, mm-hmm. or, you know, to talk about something they have in common, but it's not the focus. The focus yeah. is faith force, faith diversity, but they absolutely allow faith, individual faith groups to meet however they would like mm-hmm. in addition to that. But the big push and the big sponsorship is for the, you know, coming together and finding what we can do together.
Wow. That's an incredible movement. Last year, you wrote a blog post that I actually read. It's called Silicon Valley's Surprising Business Booster Faith. And it's such a great article that speaks to the value of recognizing faith as a key part of diversity in the workplace and the power that brings. And I spent actually last summer in San Francisco, and I can attest that it seems like the world is shifting more extreme towards not only like separating church and state, but also like separating faith and work. And it's like, mm-hmm. Don't bring your faith here, you know? And so I'm just curious how you live in that intersection of faith and business in your professional life.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I mean, that was my assumption too, that there is this huge separation. And mm-hmm. I think we're taught that. But it's funny because I don't actually see that playing out. And maybe I'm not in, you know, those companies where that's happening, but I talk to a lot of people, and I think some of that is more of our assumption than the reality. I think companies are increasingly interested in bridging this gap, and they know they have to. I'm actually heading to Dallas next week to talk to at a conference to HR folks from a bunch of companies who know they have to address this. Mm-hmm. You know, we've definitely reached a tipping point that we can't ignore this.
Yeah.
But why is that? And what are the benefits? So, I mean, an example I like to give of the business benefits of faith is, you know, a story about a Muslim employee here at Salesforce who was looking tired, mm-hmm. and his manager asked him, you know, what's wrong? And the employee looked down and kind of mumbled under his breath, I'm fasting for Ramadan. So he felt like he had to be quiet about it, right? Mm-hmm. He wasn't sure if he could say it. And the manager said something very important. He said, tell me more about that. Mm. And the employee looked up, sort of shocked that somebody, for the first time in his career, wanted to know about Ramadan. And he said, well, I'm fasting sun up to sun down for a month to gain compassion for those in need. And the manager was floored by this. He thought it was fascinating. And he said, you know, well, let's work out some time. So make sure you have time for prayer, and, you know, we'll honor your fasting. And on top of that, can you, you know, share with us what more about Ramadan? So he completely saw and validated this employee, which, I mean, he tells it that it changed his life.
Yeah.
He was more motivated. He was more productive. He was happier. He brags about this manager internally and externally. He brags about Salesforce. So he's actually contributing to recruiting in addition to morale. And, you know, it's so important that people feel seen. And we know that from a lot of data out there, mm-hmm. but also in their faith identity, they need to feel seen. And there's so many benefits that can result from that.
Wow. And I can totally see how that would be such an advantage to not only see what you want to see in your employees, but see them for who they are and really appreciating that in the workplace, and how that would make them feel more loyal and attached and willing to work hard for the company.
Absolutely. And it's not just a nice to have. I think it's critical. I was handing out flyers about FaithForce at one of our new hire events. And a Muslim man came up to me and he said, you know, I wanted to introduce myself to you. So I read about your blogs and I read about FaithForce online at my other company, where I didn't feel safe or mm-hmm. seen in to be Muslim. And I decided, because of FaithForce, I quit my other job and I applied here. So it's critical, you know, just to keep and to recruit the talent. People do expect that they will be able to be their full authentic selves.
I wanted to also talk a little bit about this amazing journey that you've personally had in finding mm-hmm. God, and I've heard a little bit of it through the different things you've written and spoken about that I could find on YouTube and social media and things, but I'd love to hear, you know, I'd love for you to tell us about that journey that you had, because I thought it was just so powerful.
Yeah, well, you kind of touched on where it all started, which was feeling like an outsider in Utah as a non-LDS member.
Yeah.
And so I kind of built this wall around me that I didn't need that, you know, what I considered a crutch. I didn't need that. I was going to kind of stand on my own 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting, though, is I didn't really realize it at the time, but I was just simply pursuing my own religion, which was the religion of accomplishment.
Yeah.
And, you know, I pursued grades and had a lot of success. And that actually worked pretty well for a really long time. You know, my master's program and on to working at Salesforce, had an incredible job. I have a wonderful husband. I have 3 teenagers. So I sort of had checked off all of the goals, all the life goals that I wanted for myself. And I sort of sat back almost on my throne, literally in a tower. And I was very proud of myself, but I was also missing something. And I knew it. It was just sort of this void that I had in my life. And I couldn't put my finger on it because I had everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had friends. I mean, it was a happy, very happy life. But I was missing something and frustrated. And so I went in all these directions trying to fill that void. And nothing filled it. So I assumed it must be my job.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, maybe I'm supposed to do something more meaningful. And so I quit my job and pursued leadership development because, you know, that sounds more meaningful, right? I was going to inspire people. And it was fun and it was inspiring, but it just so did not fill that void. And so I was kind of facing the fact that, oh, man, this didn't fill the void, and I've left behind this incredible job. And then I started to fail miserably at this new job. So suddenly I had to sell these classes in addition to, you know, leading them. And I was terrible at sales. Just horrible. And I'd never really failed like that in my life before.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was shocking to me. So I was failing on the job. In some ways, I was failing as a mother, I thought, because I was traveling a lot. My family was missing me. These 2 ways I had identified myself were crumbling beneath my feet. And so I was in a hotel room on the other side of the country by myself, getting rejection emails from clients, realizing the mistake I had made. I mean, I had totally sworn off that option.
Mm-hmm.
But I said out loud 3 words that changed everything, which were, "I give up."
Hmm.
I said it out loud. And something just seemed to lift when I said that. A lot of anxiety, a lot of the weight of all that I was carrying somehow lifted, just sort of supernaturally, I think. And really weird things started to happen right after that. The very next day, you know, I would read the word God in something, and it was kind of appealing for the first time. And I would want to reread that, or I would hear music about God, and it was suddenly like the most beautiful thing I'd ever heard, you know? And then it sort of culminated. I thought of this, my kid's old karate teacher, who I remember had invited me to church years ago. It was clear as day he came to mind. And so out of almost obedience to something, I pulled out my phone and I texted him out of the blue. And I said, "Hey, you know, long time no chat. Can I go to church with you?"
Wow.
And he said, "Of course, yes." And I went, and it was this really moving, profound experience. I had no idea what was going on, but I was in tears, and 2 people prayed for me. I had never been prayed over before. And right after that, I was heading to Austin, Texas, for a conference. And I was in my hotel room, and 2 significant things happened. One is I got a text from this karate teacher out of the blue, and he just said, "Sue, I pray that the Holy Spirit will be revealed to you today."
Mm.
And I thought, wow, you know, I didn't actually know what that meant. But I somehow felt the beauty of it and the love of it, and it was really a powerful moment. And I just sat on the bed and just felt completely loved in that moment.
Wow.
And then a little bit after that, I got a phone call, and it was from my aunt. And she said, kind of nervously, "Sue, this is going to sound crazy, but I think I'm supposed to call you right now and tell you about God."
Hmm.
And the coincidence was just too much. And I decided, I think I better listen to this.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And it turned out to be just the most beautiful, profound conversation of my life. It was only 30 minutes. And by the end of it, I decided I either had to decide that it was either a wild coincidence or it was true. And I said out loud, I believe you. Wow. And that began my conversion to Christianity just a couple weeks later.
Wow. That's such a powerful story. And I love the progression of, you could call it coincidence, but we both know that it's, you know, the Lord's hand in your life, you know, guiding you towards him. And I just love how that question, I give up, applies not only to someone who's a non-believer, but also to people who have had faith for years. Like sometimes they have to come to that point as well to say, I give up. I really am not in control here and I need you.
Oh. I can't remember who said it, but, you know, when our hands are clasped on something, they are not open to receive. And so my hands had been clasped so tightly all my life around accomplishment that I couldn't receive all the love that I totally believe God was giving to me and reaching out to me. I couldn't even hear it. There's, you know, Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with you and you with me." Yeah. And, you know, I think that God is knocking on our hearts, but we have to open the door. And that means letting go of our own gods, what we want to hang on to.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that beautiful story and your testimony of the Lord in your life. I'm curious, one thing, as you were speaking, I had a question come to my mind, which, have you noticed your work? Because you had had a whole career before you had your conversion, and then you jumped right back into your career. I mean, you obviously continuously were in your career. Did you notice at all how your work changed as your faith grew? Did your approach change? Did your profession, like that life, changed within you?
Oh, completely. I mean, just completely. I can't emphasize that enough. You know, pursuing success in the work world is exhausting. Yeah. I think, you know, so many of us do it, and it's hard not to in this world. But I picture it like pulling a yoke, pulling a plow, right? And it's hard, and it's hard work, and you got to go fast, and you know, sometimes you don't even know if you're going in the right direction. And then, of course, the beautiful passage from Matthew 11:29, where, you know, Jesus is telling the crowd, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So suddenly I realized I was, it was a double yoke. I was with Jesus, and he was carrying the weight of it, and he was actually, you know, leading the direction, and all I had to do was step along with him. So not only was that just a profound relief, and I feel that every day, the peace of just carrying today. All I carry is today, and he carries it, and he's going in the right direction. I don't even have to care about the direction because he's already set it out. And it's the right, and it's good, and it's the right direction. So it's a huge sense of relief and peace. And then also just intimacy, you know, praying with God in the morning and figuring out what he wants me to do that day is really profound, that I never had before. So I went from sort of carrying my whole career and my whole future on my back to carrying a single day. And even just small pieces of that day, I feel I carry. He carries all of the rest.
Wow. And that allowing him to relieve you of the burdens of the future or your long-term impact has probably allowed you to do better at your job and care more for the employees that you manage and are leading.
Yeah. So my daily prayer is, you know, I work for you, God. You are my CEO. How can I help you today? just like we would we would say maybe to a manager, right? Or to our boss, like, what do you need me to do today? Mm-hmm. How can I work for you? And I take the time to, you know, look through my calendar with God every day in the morning. And I, you know, he kind of tells me like where the focus is. Is it this problem or is it this person? Who am I supposed to love today? You know, who am I supposed to be alert to today? You know, things I wouldn't think of with a different mindset. So that definitely helps me just love others. I think of every day as like a ministry opportunity, mm-hmm. right? And I fail all the time and get caught up in myself, right? But
I don't believe it.
That overthinking is great. It's much better. It's so much better. It's a huge relief.
Yeah. So this kind of, I've been thinking about this as I prepared for this interview. I really wanted to ask you this question because you've had such a unique experience in sharing your faith, living your faith, and also having grown up in an LDS culture, really, in Utah. Mm-hmm. You have this really interesting perspective on sharing faith with others. And I've been really impressed by how you take such a gentle approach in sharing your beliefs. Like, I don't feel like I never feel like you're being pushy or you're being like forceful, and you're so respectful of others, but also so sure and so convicted of your beliefs and in your testimony. And so my question for you is, and we think about this a lot in our, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we think about missionary work and proselytizing. What's been the key to sharing your faith without coming off as pushy, if that makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very black and white to me. My job is not to be pushy at all. It mm-hmm. is simply to be as Christ-like as I can. And, you know, the quintessential characteristic of Christ, one of many, is his love for others. And the Bible says they will know you by your love. Mm. And I find that is so much more effective, to just love others as Jesus loves them, see them as Jesus sees them, from like the homeless person I pass on my way in, to the person in the kitchen who's cleaning up, to the highest executive. Love them. Mm. Not just work with them, but love them. And pair that with not being ashamed. The Bible also says, I am, be not ashamed of the gospel. So there's the power of Christ in your life. And, you know, I just stand in it. I stand in what I believe is the truth of it without pushing. And that, what that does is it allows people to come to me if they have questions, right? There's mm-hmm. actually a lot of people hiding in the shadows that when I say, I had a good weekend. My church did blah, blah, blah. They will say, oh, you go to church. I go to church too, you know, and they're really relieved that there's somebody they can talk to about it. And the folks who are just exploring faith also feel really comfortable because there's not a lot of people they can talk to either. So they also reach out to me and just say like, so what is your story? And well, how did that happen? So it's much more of a pull model than a push model, you know. Mm-hmm. Make yourself known for who you are, and then love others like crazy, like Jesus loves them.
Wow, that is so profound. I really needed to hear that myself. And one thing that I read or I heard that you do is you have people come to your office. Like, is it like Monday, Wednesday, Friday at like 9 a.m. I don't remember the times, but you have like a like an office hours every week to talk about, you know, Faith Force or faith. I guess, would you say the key to having that interest, people coming to you and talking and having those conversations, has been just to be totally just full of love and just accepting and servant leadership mindset, would you say?
I'm not sure. It's so fascinating who comes. It's such a variety. So how that started is, you know, I once I decided I'm not ashamed of the gospel and I'm not ashamed of who I am, and started kind of being more public about it,
yeah.
Which, by the way, scary at first. It's not like I came out of the gate like, I'm going to share my story on YouTube. You know, that was really scary. And
right.
It's a series of baby steps to get there. But nonetheless, it's out there now.
Mm.
And people seem to, whether they agree or not, they find that to be bold and courageous and attractive in some way. And so people from all walks of life will see it somewhere, see it on LinkedIn or Twitter or YouTube, and they'll reach out to me, usually on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
So these are mostly external folks, although I get lots of folks internally too. And they would say, can I meet with you? And I would, you know, I would look at my calendar. I would take 15 minutes, look at my calendar, come up with a bunch of dates and times and send it to them. And they would say, oh, that doesn't work. How about these? And we would have all these back and forth, and it wasn't sufficient. So I started to say, well, okay, I'm just going to block my calendar 8:30 to 9, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, for whoever God sends my way.
Mm.
And just we totally, you know, prioritize that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been fascinating. So I get, you know, a lot of Christians who are at that stage where they're ready to be trailblazers mm-hmm. in their company, and they've been thinking about it for a long time, and they just need a little push and some how-tos to get them started. I definitely get a lot of seekers who want to just—it's like the first time they feel safe in some way to talk about faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes, you know, HR folks will call as well and want to know, like, you know, what are the dangers and how could this go awry?
Right.
It's not so bad. It's really not so bad.
Yeah, that's so remarkable, and this really makes me so excited to, because I graduate next year, and I really want to bring my faith with me to my work. And I just, it's such a part of who I am. And not in like a proselytizing sort of way, like you mentioned, I love the way you frame it as a pool, as just being, you know, that Christian, someone who loves Christ and loves others. And if you were to, you know, talk to someone who's a new employee at a company, who's that employee, and they're trying to start this conversation about, you know, faith groups and appreciating this element of employees, what would you say? What would you say is the best way to begin?
Yeah. I mean, the number one thing is to see if that's what you're supposed to do. You know, I go to God for that, right? Is this what God is asking you to do in this particular time and place? Because it's very, you know, he has a plan. He doesn't want us to drive. He wants to drive. So mm-hmm. I know he's been sort of watering the ground in all of these different companies mm-hmm. at different rates, at different times. So the first question is, does God want me to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And that can be answered in prayer, in my experience. And so if that really feels like what you're called to do, if you're called to be a trailblazer in your company, the number one thing is to be respectful of your leaders and respectful of the environment. You know, I always think of Nehemiah and mm-hmm. Esther, you know, and the profound love and or nuance that they used in their language. I would say they would say things like, you know, my Lord, if you will, if it pleases you, could I suggest something?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't like demand their rights. They didn't push their way to the table.
Mm-hmm.
They respected the environment that they were in. I mean, this is a job.
Yeah.
We are privileged to work for these companies.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, we should never go in with any kind of entitlement. So that's number one is your company may not be quite ready for it. Maybe they just need some baby steps mm-hmm. first. But if they're ready, the most important thing is to do this in collaboration with your leaders, with, you know, if you have a, you know, obviously an HR department, if you have a diversity department, let this be a collaborative effort and take a lot of time to acknowledge their concerns. Just say, you may be worried about this. You mm-hmm. may be worried about that. Do your research. Show that there are companies that have already mitigated those concerns and had a lot of success. You can also show how, you know, they don't want to be behind, too. You can use that as a little nudge, too, that, like, let's be at the forefront of this movement. It is happening. There's no denying it. Let's mm-hmm. not be at the tail end. Let's be at the forefront. So that could be it.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming from the top down. And then from the bottom up, I found, and this is really the genesis of it all for me, was just finding somebody to pray with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my own faith, prayer is just so critical.
Yeah.
And so that, I think, is what really broke through here, is finding a prayer partner.
Mm. Those are awesome techniques. Thank you for sharing that. That's a really neat perspective. I just, random question. Something I'm curious about. You have such a way of being able to receive this direction from God in your life. And you know, maybe this is personal and that's okay. But I'm just curious, how do you hear, you know, how do you sense what God wants you to do in your day-to-day life as he's directing you?
Yeah. I mean, it's a benefit that I came to faith late, in the sense that I have such a stark contrast of what it's like now mm-hmm. to have God in my life versus not having God in my life. Mm. And it all started with, you know, going into that church and feeling the presence of God. It's a presence in my life. It's a profound peace is one thing. So how I hear, sometimes it's hard because my voice is so loud in my head. And I dedicate, you know, I get up early, I dedicate at least an hour in the morning, and I, you know, I read some scripture, I think about it, and I pray. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always say the Lord's Prayer, you know, our Father who art in heaven, that, you know, I go through each piece of that, and I think about how that applies to me. You know, hallowed be thy name, you know, you are holy, not me, you are holy. Mm-hmm. I go through that. That helps me. Things come to mind as I go through that that might not come to mind otherwise. And then we actually do look at my calendar together, God yeah. and I. He's like, you know, I mean, he really is a friend, you know. Mm-hmm. I think of Jesus sort of sitting with me on my couch in the morning and writing Bart with me. Yeah. And sitting in my meetings with me, walking in the front door with me, he's like a best friend. Mm. And he helps me see, it's really just kind of a, oh, feeling, oh, I didn't think of that. Or yeah. sometimes it's a conviction feeling of, you need to go talk to that person.
Yeah.
And I will kind of argue, like, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I want to go to my work. And like, do it now is sort of the feeling I get. So sometimes it's conviction and argument, and sometimes it's me just taking the space to think about my day in the context of, I work for you, God. Mm. I don't work for man. I don't work for the world. I'm here by your grace, mm-hmm. you know, by your incredible grace. I don't deserve this. I have walked away from you. I have sinned. And yet you forgive me and you love me completely and you died for me even
yeah.
to be here. And it's not for my greatness. Mm-hmm. And it's not because of my work and my genius. It's mm-hmm. completely because of grace. It's actually in spite of me that he allows me to work here and do this. So that mindset helps me hear from him and have such a sort of intimacy with him throughout the day.
Wow. That's so profound and beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I think
yeah.
that's a lesson for all of us to learn. And I love that there's not Sue that goes to church and Sue that goes to work and Sue that's with her family, but it's all one whole, you know, Sue Warnke, you know, who's just doing these amazing things. So I'm so grateful for your example. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
So we normally finish off the show with a question we ask everyone who comes on. The name of our podcast is Measuring Success Right. And mm-hmm. it's a really important question, especially at this point of our lives where we're going into college or leaving college, starting our careers and, you know, going to go into the world of thinking, where is success? How can I get it? And what does that mean? So for you, Sue, in your mind, how can we measure success in our lives?
I would kind of answer that the same as the question about how do you start a faith group?
Yeah.
Find out first what God wants of you. Hmm. How has he chosen to use you mm-hmm. in the world? Maybe he's going to put you in a dysfunctional company because you might be needed to minister there. Mm-hmm. I've been, you know, the couple years I worked elsewhere, I was a consultant for some companies that were in the midst of scandal, right? And and it was a really rough company, but I was there, you know, to help them. Mm-hmm. And so I think wherever God sends you, hopefully that decision is based in prayer and faith. And if he sends you somewhere that works out great and it's your dream job, mm-hmm. and, you know, maybe you even have the freedom to be yourself and start a faith group, if that's what God, where God sent you, then that's great, and make the most of it, because mm-hmm. the Bible says, to whom much is given, much will be expected.
Yeah.
So do not shy away from whatever he's asking you to do. Don't hide in the corners mm-hmm. if he's given you the blessing of a really safe environment. If he's given you a rough environment, or you're about to go through hardship, or you have gone through hardship, you know that could be just a beautiful test for you. Maybe he's trying to fast track you to learn some lessons that you haven't learned yet. I know he's done that with me in the past, you know, year, where I've definitely had some stumbles, and I look back and think that was the exact lesson I needed to learn. Yeah. So for me, the measure of success, I mean, it used to be, you know, promotion and success.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely now, every day, did I do what God wanted me to do today?
Mm-hmm.
Just today. I don't even, I don't think that far ahead anymore, because I don't have to, and I'm not supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
I think, did I serve you well today for mm-hmm. what you asked me to do? And that is completely how I measure my success.
Wow. Thank you so much, Sue. And this was an amazing conversation, and I'm so grateful you took some time out to talk with us today. If people wanted to reach out to you, if they'd like to hear more, is LinkedIn the best way? Are you on Twitter, or how are there?
Yeah, I'm all over.
Okay.
So, definitely, you know, you can hear more of these stories on all the different channels. There's some YouTube videos, and I post on even Facebook. Facebook is kind of like my more of a mini blog. So you can follow there, LinkedIn, Twitter. But if you want to reach out to me, I offer those office hours to anybody who feels really, you know, convicted to do that. I think you should trust that.
Mm-hmm.
And so just reach out to me on LinkedIn, and we'll set up an 8:30 time slot. I'd love to talk to any of you.
Perfect. Well, I'm sure there will be people reaching out. Thank you so much, Sue, and may God be with you in your continued success and following. And we're so thankful for you and for our listeners for tuning in today. We will see you all next time on Measuring Success Right. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or SoundCloud so you never miss an episode. Be a friend and tell a friend about Measuring Success Right.
This podcast is a project of the Marriott Student Review at Brigham Young University. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Marriott Student Review, or online at marriottstudentreview.org.